This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. Okay, listen up. I want to know if you can recognize this sound. For you board game nerds, you know it as the pop-o-matic. It's that little plastic bubble you push to roll the dice. Let me play it again. Yeah, well, board games have come a long way from the pop-o-matic era. There are board games where players create narratives in all sorts of worlds and use complicated strategies to build the story or outsmart one another. And they don't just involve Dungeons and Dragons. There are lots of board games focused on science and STEM. Some involve building a bird preserve or figuring out how to terraform Mars. My next guests are here to talk about some of their favorite science board games, and we want to hear from you also. Elizabeth Hargrave is a board game designer, and she created a game based on her birding hobby. The game is called Wingspan. Welcome to Science Friday.
Hi, Ira.
Nice to have you. Angela Chuang is a lecturer in the Department of Psychology at the University of Tennessee in Knoxville, and her board game reviews have appeared in Science. Welcome to Science Friday.
Hi there.
Nice to have you. I want to invite our listeners, if they have a favorite science or STEM board game, give us a call. Our number, 844-724-8255. You can tweet us at SciFry. And you can find all of the science board games we're going to talk about on our website at sciencefriday.com/board games. Let me begin with you, Elizabeth. You created the game Wingspan. And before you worked in public health, you were a birder. Why did you want to create this game?
I had been playing board games for years at the point that I decided to start designing, and really it came out of a desire to see a game that I wanted to play that didn't exist yet. A lot of board games do have sort of that Dungeons and Dragons theme, yeah, or medieval Europe trading in the Mediterranean, people say a lot. And so it really came out of a question of what would it look like to have a board game that was about something that I really cared about.
So how do you start? Where do you start designing the game? What went into Wingspan?
I mean, I think a lot of people start in a lot of different places. For me, it was literally just making up some cards with pencil on scraps of paper and sort of playing against myself a bunch until I had a system that seemed to be kind of working, and then going out from there, playing with friends, finding a community of folks that were willing to playtest it here in the D.C. area, taking it to some conventions and getting even more feedback. It's really a very iterative process. I think a lot of people don't realize that board games go through hundreds and hundreds of playtests sometimes before they ever make it onto the shelf of a store.
Mm-hmm. And give us an idea of how you play the game.
Sure. So in Wingspan, you have a board in front of you. Each person has their own individual player mat that sort of represents their nature preserve, like you were talking about. And you are playing birds out into three different habitats. There's a forest and a grasslands and a wetland that are sort of depicted on the board. And those each help you do different things in the game. So one helps you get food, one helps you get eggs, one helps you get more cards. And as you're playing birds out, they help you get better and better at those three things. Hmm.
Angela, Wingspan was on your list of games. Why do you like this game so much?
Well, for me, I think it very accurately portrays aspects of bird ecology, but in a very accessible way. I think it's easy to explain to players what's going on in the game in terms of, you know, you're trying to attract birds to your preserve, but you just need to get the resources that represent their diets. And I found that it's an easy game to explain, but there's also a lot of depth, and the types of kind of table conversations that have arisen from this game have just been fantastic.
Hmm. You are a big board gamer, correct? I would be correct in saying that.
Right.
What makes a good science board game?
Well, I think first and foremost, you want to have a fun game. You want some sort of game that people are willing to come back to. And I think part of that comes from games that have multiple strategies for victory, maybe an element of surprise, maybe some sort of puzzle-like component that you have to solve in a different way each time. And I think games work best as science games when they not only have a science theme, but they also incorporate the educational component as part of the game mechanics. And so it's not just about, you know, assigning certain names and jargon to the game pieces, but Hopefully the act of playing the game actually teaches the scientific process to the players. Mm-hmm.
Let's go to some of our gamers out in our audience. Let's go to Orlando. George, hi. Welcome to Science Friday.
Hi, thanks. I wanted to mention a game called Evolution. Evolution uses resource management, which can bring in, you know, non-science interested people, but then it really cleverly introduces the idea of natural selection to build new organisms to compete for those resources.
Yeah, that's a good game. Thanks for bringing that up. We played that. Our sci-fi team played it in the office as research yesterday for this. Elizabeth, describe the game for us if you can.
Sure. In Evolution, you have control of species, and each one starts out with any particular traits, but you can play cards onto them that give that particular species a certain trait, like a long neck, which helps it get food, or burrowing, which helps it resist predators and things like that. So you can sort of modify the animals that you're controlling over time in reaction to how many other players have carnivores or how much food is available in the system. And so you're just competing to eat the most food over the course of the game with your different species as you have adapted them.
Now, Angela, you have a PhD in evolution and ecology, right?
That's correct.
This board game, there's a version of Evolution where you can throw climate change into the mix?
Yeah. That's an expansion to the Evolution game that Elizabeth just described. And to me, I really enjoy that extra layer. I enjoy Evolution a lot, and I still play it actually as the video game version on Steam a lot these days. And I think we'll find over time that in the base game, it's kind of hard to take down a really big predator that's got these really great complex traits. And so the cool thing about the climate change expansion is that it brings in these an abiotic component, so climate, and in general, like larger species tend not to do as well with heat, and colder and smaller species don't like the cold as much. And so by manipulating the climate, players can actually, there's a strategy to actually deal with these large species as well. It kind of changes your strategy a little.
Do you think that these are teaching materials if you want to teach kids about climate, you play the game, or are they just merely for fun?
I think Evolution is maybe a little complicated to bring into a classroom. It depends on how much time you have. Mm. As I mentioned, it does have a video game counterpart, and so I think that one might be, if there's some way to bring that into a classroom, you can definitely fit it in within the time span.
I have to get my steam up on that one. That sounds like an interesting one. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Cherryville, Connecticut, and Kyle, welcome to Science Friday.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I highly appreciate it.
You're welcome.
The game I wanted to bring up that I got into about 3 years ago was called Pandemic, and it's all about viruses spreading across the world, and you're trying to work with the other players that have special roles to eliminate these viruses from the world, and if viruses appear too many times in the game, it's game over, and you have to start over from a brand new game.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a couple of tweets of people just tweeting, and they recommended that one also. Elizabeth, what do you think about that game? Were you an advisor on that game?
No, that's not the field of healthcare policy that I was involved in at all. But, I think the caller described it well. And that was probably one of the first games that I played that had sort of a more real-world, modern-day feeling theme to it with that STEM component to it. I love that games for us serve as escapism, but I also really enjoy when that escapism links back to something that's real in the world, and that you're sort of experiencing something that you might not otherwise experience. So you get that feeling of tension of like, oh my gosh, we have to save these people. These pandemics are raging across the world, but within the confines of your table.
Interesting. Let me go to our Science Friday Vox Pop app, and we had some comments there, like this one from Scott from Reno.
My favorite STEM board games are from a publisher called Genius Games. There is a sequence of biology-themed games. There's Peptide, Virulence, and Cytosis, Cytosis being my favorite of those three, and then some sort of physics and chemistry games called Covalence, Ion, Subatomic, and Periodic. And my favorite of all of those is Periodic.
Periodic, Angela, do you agree? Good game?
I've played Subatomic and Cytosis, and I agree. The games that Genius Games comes out with are really educational, and they are really fun and engaging.
Mm-hmm. Let's see if we have another clip from our Science Friday Vox Pop. Let's go to Jose.
So I use Fantastic Gymnastics in my AP Physics course. It's an uneven bar, and there's a gymnast, and you spin them around. My students have to predict using rotational kinematics and projectile motion where the gymnast is going to land. It's a lot of fun, and it's fun to watch them do the calculations.
So he uses it in his physics class. I think that's kind of interesting. That was the game Fantastic Gymnastics. And as I say, a lot of these games, they can be used for, you know, for teaching, or they can be used for fun. Let me see. Lots of tweets coming in. Susan says, a birder for 30 years and wingspan to me is almost as good as actual birding. That's pretty high praise.
Aww.
Here's Karen, who says, it may sound weird, but I love the way that Dead of Winter plays, like a climate change allegory acted out with zombies rather than catastrophic flooding. Familiar with that one?
I am. I hadn't thought about that as sort of a warning parable, but I could see how you would go there with it.
Do you see a trend in any games? Are we getting more climate change games or games that are apocalyptic in terms of the future of climate change?
Well, there was sort of a whole trend of zombie games a few years back that of winter was part of. But in terms of climate change, so we have Evolution Climate, and I do think there are a couple more coming out in the next year or so that I've heard about. And you know, we want games to be fun, so it's tricky to come up with a design that people still have fun with and don't leave totally depressed over while still addressing some of these issues. And I think pandemic struck that balance because you feel really successful when you win the game because you have quashed the pandemic. So I think to the extent that climate change games can give people that same feeling of like this is a thing we can work on together, and that might be a really interesting way to go.
Talking with Elizabeth Hargrave and Angela Chuang on Science Friday from WNYC Studios. And let me go to the phones because we have an unusual request from Jerry in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Hi, Jerry.
Oh, this is Gary.
Go ahead.
Yeah, got a grandson who's almost four, but he's showing a real bent on things, environmental science such as that. Is there a toddler board game that can be used for pre-K children? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for calling. Do we have any recommendations for a toddler? That's kind of young.
Yeah. So there are definitely board games aimed at that age group. I'm racking my brain whether any of them, you know, fit clearly into the STEM realm. One company that I'd recommend that's really well known for their children's games is called HABA, H-A-B-A. And they have a line of games that their earliest ones started recommending, I think, age 2 or 3. Yeah.
You know, Settlers of Catan is a popular board game. It's one of my favorites, if not necessarily sciencey, but I understand there is a version where you can add in oil spills called Catan Scenarios Oil Springs. Is that right? You now got oil spills added to that? I missed that add-on.
Yeah, that's correct. So? And so it doesn't quite function like some of the larger expansions in Catan that some people might be familiar with, like Cities and Nights.
Yeah.
So it is a scenario, which means it's, you know, like a small cardboard expansion that you buy and print out, and you just play along with your base game. And what's interesting about this scenario is that it introduces a new resource to the mix, to the additional five. It introduces oil, and the kick to it is the more you use oil in the game, the more players progress along an environmental disaster track. And so whenever any player uses oil, everyone kind of moves closer to an environmental disaster. Mm. And these disasters can be anything from, you know, wiping away all of the smaller settlements along the edges of the board that are bordering the ocean, or removing some of the resource hexes in general.
Interesting. Elizabeth, I know on your list of games is something called Terraforming Mars. It sounds like something Elon Musk might be involved in. Tell us about that.
Sure. Terraforming Mars is a big, heavy board game. It takes a few hours to play, at least your first time. But you literally are doing things in the game that raise the oxygen level and the amount of water and the temperature on the surface of Mars. And you're doing this mostly by playing cards that are related to actual things that you might do to increase those things. And so it even though it's this very futuristic sort of sci-fi idea, it feels very realistic in terms of the activities that you're doing within the game.
I have a tweet here from David who asks, how about CO2? It's a game of managing climate change. It's not very well known. Some call it Terraforming Earth.
Yeah, that's another big, long, heavy game that's definitely not for beginners, but that's true. That's another one that has approached that issue of climate change. And similar to the Catan expansion we were just talking about, it's really getting into the issues of the tragedy of the commons. And, you know, you want to use oil because it's good for you personally, but it's making everything a little bit more dangerous for everyone across the board at the same time.
And I want to thank both of you, Elizabeth Hargrave, board designer and creator of the game Wingspan, and Angela Chuang, lecturer in the Department of Psychology, University of Tennessee in Knoxville. All our board game reviews have appeared in Science. Hers are there. And we have all the Science Friday games we talked about up on our website, sciencefriday.com/boardgames.